of old Big D. Well, he works from 9 to 5. Bending steel and driving nails by phone.
All right, Claude. I appreciate Texas, but we can do better than Big D. We can do Big Austin. All right. V. Crowden Reddy is the policy analyst for the Center for Effective Justice at Texas Public Policy Foundation, where he coordinates the Right on Crime. Welcome, V. Crowden.
Hi, it's great to be on.
Great to have you. Who are you? Where do you come from? How'd you get here?
Well, I'm a Texan. I'm from Fort Worth. I'm an attorney. I'm a Longhorn just like you.
Ah.
And I was practicing law in Dallas before I got the opportunity to jump on board with the Right on Crime campaign in Austin and jumped at the chance.
Tell us about Right on Crime.
Well, it's a campaign that takes a look at conservative positions on crime and criminal justice. And we say, with every other aspect of budgets and with spending, when it comes to health care, when it comes to education, pensions, we're always saying we have to be focused on what the government's spending, we have to be focused on cutting costs and being efficient. But when it comes to criminal justice, we just keep cutting blank checks, and we need to change that policy.
What are we doing in Texas that's right?
You know, in Texas, we had a situation in 2007 where the state legislature was told, because Texas is growing so fast, you're going to have $2 billion worth of increased prison spending for 17,000 new prison beds. And our legislators said, we're not going to go back to taxpayers and ask for that kind of money. So instead, they invested in things like drug courts, in things that were solutions to these kinds of problems that wouldn't have extremely expensive solutions like incarceration. You know, a drug court costs less than $10 a day per offender, whereas prison in Texas costs close to $50 per day.
How does a drug court work in that way?
In a drug court, you go in, you acknowledge that you have a problem, you're forced to reckon with this. It's not legalization. I mean, drugs are still illegal. They ought to be. These are problems we have to help people with, though. They go in, and the judge helps them, puts them into a treatment program. Okay. They're required to do this, or else it's jail.
Okay. Yeah, there's another option, I suppose, the criminal justice system. You could expatriate them to Colorado or Washington where they'd be legal. That's an exchange program. We'll take one, like Texas seems to be doing. We'll take one of your high-tech programs from Seattle, and we'll trade you a drug offender. I'm kidding, of course. Is crime down in Texas?
Crime is down in Texas. Now, crime's been down in states all across the country,
right,
which is, you know, the counter-argument we'll get from time to time. But what's interesting is you look at the data. There are states like Texas that have been cutting their incarceration, and there are other states, California comes to mind immediately,
right,
that have been increasing incarceration, and yet crime drops in both places. So the question is, don't we want to do this the more cost-effective way if other social factors are causing crime declines across the country?
Is certainty of punishment more important than length of punishment?
Swiftness and certainty of punishment are the most significant things. This goes back to, well, there are writings by an Italian jurist, Cesare Beccaria. They're found in Thomas Jefferson's library.
Sure.
And he writes all about this, swiftness and certainty. The founders believed in this, and somehow we got away from that over the last couple hundred years.
And is Texas more certain and more swift than most states?
I think so. I think that that's really one of the hallmarks of the Texas system. There aren't these lengthy appeals processes that drain resources and get very expensive and don't actually help the offender.
Well, so what is to sum it up, what would be the lessons? One of the things we do on the show is to try to learn things from different states that should be applied to other states. What are the main lessons to take from Texas that you could take to, let's say, Illinois or New York?
Well, the main lessons are that you can increase public safety, you can cut spending, and you can help rehabilitate offenders if you just focus your criminal justice spending on the right kinds of areas, drug courts, improve parole, probation, things like that, rather than incarceration.
Does drug testing figure in the drug courts and adjudication process?
Well, you know, you're forced to acknowledge that you have a drug problem if you want to be involved in a drug court. I mean, if you're going to say, I don't have a problem, then you're going to go through the regular process and you're going to go to prison.
You know, it raises the interesting question, doesn't it, Vikrant, that we were talking yesterday about drugs. You know, if you're found with drugs in your system, you're arrested for a crime in Colorado or Washington, it's not a crime.
Sure.
Not anymore.
Not anymore.
So,
yeah.
But what do they do when it comes to impaired driving? Because we know drugs can impair your driving.
Yeah.
Marijuana can impair your driving. I think they got a real mess there.
No, I agree. And, you know, a lot of people ask me, well, you know, what are your positions on drugs? And I say, look, they shouldn't be legal. We're not for drug legalization, but we are for a new tack in the war that we're taking on drugs here.
Sure. We pointed out yesterday, though, there is a big myth out there. I know you know this, that people think the prisons, federal prisons, are filled with people who just committed minor drug offenses. That just isn't the case.
No, that's not the case. The federal prisons in particular are they contain very high-level dealers, the kinds of people we'd want locked up. And I should emphasize that. There's a role for prisons in our society, obviously. And violent criminals, murderers, rapists, they belong in prison. Also, high-level drug dealers, habitual offenders. On that stuff, I don't have a spending problem. I say, show me the check and ask me where to sign.
Okay. Yeah. And there are guns in Texas, right? That's
sure.
Another factor, isn't it? Don't people, wouldn't there likely be more fear by a criminal that if he broke into a house, he might confront a gun than in a lot of states?
Well, as you know, it's a complicated debate all over the country, but I think it's fair to speculate that that's a possibility.
Yeah. I know in England, you know, the would-be break-in guy knows that he is not going to face a gun. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
We appreciate
it.
Congratulations.
Thank you for supporting our Right on Crime campaign,
you
Bill.
You betcha. Glad to do it.
Dallas days, Fort Worth night.